This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to Real Health with me, Carl Henry. I say it all the time here in the podcast, but having the right information and the knowledge can be a game changer when it comes to your health. So when it comes to where your health is at, what do you actually need to know? Where do you go and what are you looking for? This week, I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Brian Higgins, GP and Managing Partner at Galway Primary Care. He knows everything you need to know about getting the NCT for your health, and he's going to give us all his top tips. Dr. Brian Higgins, welcome back to the show. How's it going?
Well, great to be back. Thanks for having me on.
Listen, no better man. We'll get stuck straight into it. Why are screenings so important? We talk about it time and time again. People hear it time and time again, but sometimes they don't heed the advice. Why is it so important to get the screenings done?
Well, what a screening program is it's assessing people who are not symptomatic. It's about assessing people who are well to do certain checks that are appropriate for their age or demographic to try identify illness at an early stage in that illness, so we can apply a life change or a treatment to try prevent that disease from establishing and affecting that person's quality of life. And we have certain like national screening programs which have saved countless lives, the cervical cancer screening program, our breast screening program, and our bowel cancer screening programs. And they're very structured. But then a lot of people will come to me for a health check, and sometimes they don't know what's needed or what they should get done, or even if they should get a checkup in the first place. So I thought it might be a good opportunity to try give some people advice for these health checks about what is helpful at what stage of their lives.
Okay, so you're not waiting until, like, you know, you've got a bad back like I have at the moment, or, you know, a certain ailment that you think I should really go to the GP and get this checked out. You're going in just for a general MOT, even when you're feeling pretty good about your health.
Exactly. It's just, and a lot of the times people will come to me, like we do what we call an executive health screening program, where we do an online questionnaire looking at things like that, like how's your back, what's your musculoskeletal system, do you have any aches or pains, have you any lumps or bumps, how's your urinary tract working, any change in your bowels, weight loss. We do a lot of mental health screening for stress and anxiety and depression, and family history for things like celiac disease or hemochromatosis and even heart disease that'll help guide us on what tests we can do for people. And those checks can then be tailored for what that person needs. So for maybe men over 70 or women over 65, we can do a bone density scan. Or for people with a family history of hemochromatosis or celiac disease, we can do specialized tests to try identify those before the illness becomes apparent.
Okay, so it's basically about being informed, really, is what it's about. Before anything kind of presents itself, you're trying to catch it early. So the preventative component is crucial. And just giving an informed review of your body, your health, and where it's currently at.
Exactly. And I do think that it is important to, I always say numbers are only numbers, and how you feel and being in touch with how you feel like that. Is my back a bit sore? Well, actually, do you know, after a day's work, I have this ache in my lower back. Well, that's your back telling you, hey, there's a problem here and you should listen to it. And I think taking these screenings, like you can look at them and just doing a list of tests for somebody, they tick boxes, you give them a form, or you send them off. Or what you can do is, which is what I do, is I take this as an opportunity for health education, because health literacy and people understanding what illness versus normal is, or what a good diet or an adequate amount of exercise, or how to manage weight and injury. We make the assumption a lot of the time that people just know how to deal with these things. And the truth is, there's many of us who just don't know how to tackle our health issues. And when you're going for a health check with your doctor, or if you're coming for some form of NCT, it's so important that the often the most How to say, valuable part of that check is the education you get around the findings from your examination or your blood tests or any investigations you might have done.
And what are you seeing on the ground? Like, this is something that you do. Are there any common things that are coming up, like from an educational perspective, time and time again, that you find yourself constantly kind of informing people about or guiding people about?
One of the services we provide is body composition scanning. So we use a DEXA scanner, and it looks at somebody's lean mass, their fat mass, and their visceral adipose tissue. Because when it comes to weight and BMI, like, that's very, very helpful on a population scale. Mm-hmm. But just because you have a normal BMI doesn't mean that you actually have a healthy body composition. And as well, just because you're overweight doesn't mean you have an unhealthy body composition. So one of the things that I find is this condition called normal weight obesity, where people are relatively slim, but they've actually quite low muscle mass. And that's the reason that they're light. And they might have quite a high body fat percentage.
I'm going to use two words that I probably can't, I'm not allowed to use anymore, but however, it's basically that skinny fat concept, isn't it? That you look very slim, but actually you've got low muscle mass and high body fat.
Yeah, exactly. And I would always say to people, look, you're better off to be a little bit overweight and very fit than a normal weight and unfit. Mm-hmm. And I think we can get sometimes a bit obsessed by numbers on the scales without actually realizing what our makeup is. And that would be something that I find quite a lot, is that people have, they're coming into me and they have these quite high visceral fats, where they have a lot of fat in and around their liver. And we do know over time that that increases the risk of cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes, and can be an indicator of type of insulin resistance. So we can see people who might be a normal weight, but have actually quite a lot of fatty tissue in around their liver and gut. And then we can tailor their diet and the dietary advice that we give them to a diet that's maybe more appropriate for someone who might be insulin resistant, which would be similar for a type 2 diabetic diet. And that can actually really reduce down those visceral fats. And the great thing about that is I'm a big believer, when you get people to realize what their body needs from either an exercise or a dietary point of view, they just feel so much better when they actually do engage in that.
Yeah, look, and it's a great message for people listening in. Like, you know, we time and time and time again hammer the point home that it's not about weight on its own is a very poor indicator, really. But your muscle mass and your body fat are two things that you really do need to know. And where that, you know, where the fat is proportioned is absolutely crucial too. Okay, let's start with those in their 20s then. So presumably you're in your 20s, you feel like you're invincible. You're not going to see that many people coming into looking for a health screen. Or do you? Maybe you do. I don't know.
I would see some people coming in for, they're generally not asymptomatic. So they generally have something wrong. And a big thing is that people are fatigued, they're tired. Mm-hmm. And they might come in and want a blood test to look for anemia or hypothyroidism, conditions that can cause fatigue. And what we do is, when we meet those guys, we might go through just a lifestyle questionnaire. I might just ask them, like, you know, how's your diet? How's your sleep? How's your exercise? Do you like your job? How much time you
spend
on
your
phone?
Job? Okay. Yeah. That's a good question.
I do. Well, I always say that your job should be a break from your life, and your life should be a break from your job. And we spend too much time at work to do a job that we really don't enjoy. Now, that's not to say that jobs, you have to love every moment of your work. But I do think it is important, when someone's in a long-term employment, that they don't dread going into that, because that can be very, very demoralizing. And if you're doing that 5 days a week, 40 weeks, 46 weeks of the year, like, that can have a really significant impact on your mental health.
Yeah, it's a very broad approach to your health and your wellness, but you spend so much time there that you have to make sure that you like it. And in terms of kind of, my question in the learning curve for people when they come in kind of that young, and do they listen to or do they feel like it'll all just be fine, or they will bounce back really quickly naturally?
Well, I think the amazing thing about being younger in your early 20s is you're generally made out of rubber and magic. So it's an amazing time to do some interventions, because you can see, for somebody who's not exercising and is not eating well, you can actually see very, very rapid changes in their physical composition and their overall well-being with not enormous lifestyle changes. And personally, I'm not a big fan of enormous lifestyle changes, because I think they're generally not sustainable. Mm-hmm. Whereas it's trying to just identify little steps that people can take and keep taking them for a long time. Because when you meet somebody who's 20, you have 20 years until they're 40, until that cardiovascular risk factor start to really increase. So you have 20 years of opportunity to get this person as healthy as they can. So you don't necessarily need a rapid change. You just need to help put somebody on the right path. But regarding people listening, I suppose the people who are coming to me are generally a skewed group because they're already interested in their health.
Of course.
Or they wouldn't be making an appointment in the first place. So I do find if...
Or do you ever get the partner coming in, you know, for referred that's been booked in by their partner? Oh, you know, you see my wife or you see my husband, you know, they get kind of, it's almost booked in and they're forced to go.
Yeah, and I do see that. It's not the probably not the it's a bit of a trope. Like, it's probably not as common as people think. Okay. It's generally when that's the case, it's my partner has found something my back, or you know, they've noticed a lump somewhere, and I never noticed it, and I got sent in, and I've always said, you know, if this job has taught me anything, it's that wives and mammies are usually right, so it's. It's very
important. How true is that, my friend? How true is that? Let's bring it to the 40s then. So the list begins to grow, presumably then, in terms of the health checks that you can do and the kind of stuff you're looking for.
Yeah. And before we jump on, just with those age of the 20s, what I would say, the big things that you don't want to miss are melanoma. So melanoma is an incredibly dangerous skin cancer. So if you do have a new mole or a changing mole, get that checked out. For men to do regular testicular exams, because 20s and 30s is when we see testicular cancer in men, and the only way to know is to check. So just to have an idea of what you're testing.
And when men are checking, you're checking for a lump and a bump, are you?
Yeah, you're just checking for something like a little stone on the side of the testicle or in the testicle, and just something that doesn't feel right. And the last thing is obviously is sexual health screening. If you're sexually active with multiple partners, you know, sexually transmitted infections are incredibly common. And again, the only way to know that you have them is to check, because many patients, up to 90% of patients, don't have symptoms of those. So again, if you're sexually active, getting regular sexual health checks is so important. When we go to the 40s, then what happens is the demographic slightly changes. So that's when we start to build up plaques in our blood vessels. So for people who are at high risk of heart disease, that's when we see heart disease start to establish. So we start to get blocked blood vessels and hypertension. We start to see diabetes becoming more common, and even skin conditions like rosacea. All of these things tend to start to appear in the 30s and 40s.
And are blood tests still kind of the big initial tests that people will do? They get a full blood done. Like, I get mine done once a year, just because A, I'm slightly OTT, but B, I like looking at the numbers and making sure that everything where it's at. Is that still very much the go-to one?
Blood tests are a bit like an idea of what's going on. So when we're looking at a person, we're trying to look at that whole person, and then the blood tests give us additional information about that person that we're looking at. They are incredibly helpful, but just because they're normal doesn't mean that
it's not a green light.
And you do find that, like, for I remember when the step trackers came in, and people said, well, you know, I've had my 10,000 steps, so I'm going to have a treat for myself. Yeah. And you just have to be careful to say, look, your bloods might be okay now, mm-hmm. but you've got a very strong family history of heart disease. So we still need to be very careful to make some lifestyle changes to make sure that this doesn't happen. But it's great that the bloods are normal, but it's not a free pass.
Okay, great. In your 50s then, what are the different things that you're looking out for now when you're going in for tests?
Again, I would always be looking for... In men and women, we have increasing rates of cancer when we come to our 40s and 50s. So for men, we start to ask, look, are you having any issues with erectile dysfunction? How are the waterworks? Are you still able to pass urine easily? Are you waking up a lot at night? And you can get a normal enlargement of the prostate, or you can start to develop prostate cancers in your 40s and 50s. So we begin to be more mindful of checking those, and we don't worry about them as much when people are younger. Again, with women, we're reinforcing, okay, are you doing your regular breast checks? Have you found any lumps? And then are you, you know, attending the breast screening services for breast cancer? Again, the risks then of cardiovascular disease, heart disease start to increase. And again, we'll probably start to do blood pressure checks and blood tests maybe once a year then from 40 or 50.
And are there any topics that you find people are still a bit kind of embarrassed about, for want of a better word? Because we see it every now and again on the show where, you know, we will cover topics like sexual health or whatever, and you just find Irish people as a society are generally a bit kind of funny about stuff like that. Are you seeing anything on the ground when people come in?
Absolutely. So sexual dysfunction and bowel movements are the two things that people dread talking about.
Okay.
And it's actually one of the nicer things to talk about, which might sound strange, but it's something that people are so worried about. And by the time they've come to the doctor, they've thought so much about it. Oh, is this normal? Is it not normal? I'm going to talk to them. No, I'll put the appointment next week. And it's often built up to such a big thing. But obviously, we do so many of these assessments every day that, you know, when they talk to us and we're like, oh, yeah, that's true. You know, this is such a normal thing to talk about, and it just takes the pressure out of the conversation. It's really nice because by the time they talk to you and they get it off their chest, they're so relieved that they have someone to talk about that it's actually a really nice thing to be able to help someone with. And also because people think that, oh, I'm starting to get a bit of sexual dysfunction, I'm just getting old, there's nothing I can do about it now. But actually there is so much we can do to help people maintain normal sexual function as they age.
Okay, so I suppose the important message there is that never be too embarrassed. Chances are your GP has heard everything at this stage.
Exactly.
And, you know, and no matter what your age, you can still make changes and improve things by having that conversation and by being proactive about your health and having that chat with a GP.
Yeah, and like you can't turn back time. Like there's certain things that I could do when I was 25 that I can't do now, and I mightn't ever be able to do. But that's not to say that there's not a lot of things I can do to just optimize my wellness and well-being to be sure as I'm good as I can be for my age and for my, you know, genetic makeup. So it's never too late to make positive lifestyle changes. And the thing is making the changes is one thing, but actually when you maintain that change and start to feel the benefits of it, and if you can simplify that and make sure that there are things that will make a significant difference to people, they tend to buy into it and keep doing it. And I think there is a momentum when it comes to health that when people start to do things for their health and genuinely start to feel better, they'll often just start to build on it and build on it and build on it. Whereas if you do too much or advise too much or make something unattainable from the start, people just get demotivated and they say, well, I tried that, it was really difficult and I didn't feel better, so nothing's going to work for me. So it's about just incremental changes to make sure that people are always going towards the best version they can be.
And of course, that's the beauty of an NCT, really, isn't it? It provides the catalyst for change. And then when you come in the next year for your NCT or to get rechecked, you see the change in body composition or strength gains or cholesterol or whatever. And by doing that, that measurement component is what helps you to get healthier, because you're checking it and improving it and then checking it again. And seeing that difference is really why you should go for the health check in the first place, because it'll help you to get motivated to make these changes.
And we have these, I love gadgets, like I love tech. So that's why we have a lot of these kind of cool, fancy machines on our premises. And they're nice and they give you lots of information and they're great talking points for education. But that's not to underestimate the value of actually having a good relationship with your doctor. So building up a relationship with a GP over 5 or 10 years and having a GP that just knows you and can look across, call you in the waiting room, not having seen you for a year, and said, God, you know, Carl has lost a bit of weight there and he's looking a bit down. You know, I better ask him about that and check it out. I don't think that should be underestimated. So I will often have patients who come to me who just have never gone to see a doctor and they want to get this kind of very extensive health check, tailored health check. And that's brilliant. But that's not to underestimate the value of just having good continuity of care with your own GP.
Of course. If people want to find you online, where can they find you? I know you do a lot of work on Instagram with a lot of content. So throw us your Instagram handle.
It's very imaginative. It's Dr. Brian Higgins at Instagram. It's also the same on Twitter. And I have two websites. So one is Galway Primary Care, which is our GP practice. And we run a dermatology and aesthetic practice as well, which is the Galway Skin Clinic.
Amazing. Brian, fantastic to catch up with you. Mind yourself, and I'll see you very, very soon. Folks, I really hope you enjoyed today's episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry. Get yourself checked. That is the message from myself and the message from Brian. It's absolutely crucial for your health. So get yourself checked. It is really, really, really important. As ever, you know where we are, at Carl Henry PT on Instagram, realhealth@independent.ie. And we'll see you next week for more Real Health. So long, good folks.